This case number 58803, the State of Nevada Private Investigators Licensing Board versus Duane Totolovich and Totolovich and Associates. For the record, Justices Hardesty and Pickering cannot attend this session this afternoon, but they will both participate in the decision of this case, and they'll listen to the audio tape at the conclusion of the arguments then. Okay, is the appellant ready to proceed? Please do so.
May it please the Court, I'm Jeff Minicucci, Deputy Attorney General, representing the Private Investigators Licensing Board, which I will also refer to simply as the Board. Okay. With the Court's permission, I would like to reserve about 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. The Board is asking this Court to uphold its decision because there is substantial evidence in the record that Mr. Totolovich performed one or more acts that constitute the business of a private investigator, as defined in NRS Chapter 648. Without having a Nevada license. The fact that these acts were performed while Mr. Totolovich was engaged as an expert witness does not exempt him from the requirements of the licensing statute. As a final agency decision, the Board's findings of fact conclusion, and conclusions of law, which are necessarily closely related, are entitled to deference, and they should not be overturned if there's substantial evidence in the record supporting them. In this case, the District Court ruled against the Board, but in so doing acknowledged that the acts performed by Mr. Totolovich would constitute the business of private investigation, but for the fact that he was acting as an expert witness. The Court said that under the literal terms of the statute, this would be a violation. We believe the District Court erred, that the statutes should not be applied non-literally, and that creating an exception for expert witnesses that the legislature has not granted would not be the proper resolution for this case.
Has there been a history or tradition of licensing expert witnesses who do some type of investigation?
There's a history with Mr. Totolovich himself. I'm not aware of previous history with other experts.
I'm just trying to understand why this seems to be a case of first impression, so why the change?
So far as I know, there's been no change in the Board's interpretation, and I'll get into that later in my argument, that we think it's consistent with the Court's rulings in prior cases, consistent with the precedent.
Is it consistent with the practice of those individuals going before the Board to be licensed?
We think it is, Your Honor. In fact, most people who are going to be retained likely are licensed in Nevada, so that may not rise to the Court's attention very often.
Licensed as private investigators, most expert witnesses, did you just say that?
Most private investigators retained as expert witnesses.
Not private investigators per se, but expert witnesses who undertake some duties that the Board sees as coming within the private investigators' scheme.
Well, that's not going to happen very often for a couple of reasons. First, this is a case where the field of expertise of this expert is precisely within the field that's regulated by the private investigator statute, which is security. In cases where there are other licensed professionals, I'm not aware of any case where the Board has gone after, say, an engineer or a chemist or a physician for doing anything that constituted the act of private investigation when they testified as an expert.
But let me take that question one step further. Would you suggest, then, that a nurse, for instance, who is licensed in Arizona and was properly credentialed and called to testify in a case as an expert as to a nursing practice would be precluded from doing so because she would have to be licensed by our board?
By our nursing board?
Yeah.
First, I'm not prepared to go through all the different occupations and professions because they're
so
all
so we would treat private investigators differently than we treat every other professional.
No, our view in this case is that Mr. Totolovich can testify as an expert witness, giving the knowledge of that he has in that field, and he does not need to have a private investigator's license. But if he goes out and actually goes on the ground and does investigations, develops and furnishes facts and data, that becomes the act of the private investigator.
Even if his acts and the investigation on the property or on the site are designed for the sole purpose of providing his expert testimony, he would have to be licensed.
He wants that information for his expert testimony. It is not necessary that he do it personally. He's tried to say that he can't testify to that.
You're suggesting then that we would qualify an expert who could send somebody else out to the scene and do the investigation and report back, and then we could get him qualified in a district court?
Your Honor, I believe that's consistent with our evidence statute, that the facts and data relied upon by the expert are those made known to him before the hearing. And if they are of a type that are reasonably relied on by an expert in that profession, they don't have to even be admissible in evidence.
And where in that analysis is there a prohibition against someone going out and viewing a scene, much like in the situation here, on their own?
So far as the court is concerned, absolutely none, because the Private Investigators Board does not want to step on the court's turf. The court has exclusive authority to determine who is qualified to give expert testimony and whether that testimony is admissible.
But aren't you stepping on counsel's turf in the sense that you're now delegating what counsel can direct his expert witness to do or not do? It seems very odd to me.
The counsel has a couple of options here. First of all, if he hires someone on his own staff, he has his own exemption under the statutes. Then if he hires an outside person to do things for him, normally that would be a private investigator. He can also hire an expert witness to give expert testimony based on the information that's going to be provided to him. And experts do that all the time. If the expert finds he has a problem with that, and he's not given adequate information, or he doesn't trust the information, what he can do is he can hire a private investigator licensed in this state to go out and develop the facts. He can give that person supervision, tell him exactly what he needs. He can even be present while it's done. Now, that is some little bit of an inconvenience for the expert, but it doesn't compare to the inconvenience to the Private Investigators Board, who now has a wide open door that's prone to unimaginable abuse. If anybody could designate a person as an expert, allow him to go out and develop his own facts. One of the things we pointed out to the court is that the court seldom ever sees the expert who's designated and retained. Fewer than 1% of the cases that are non-family, non-juvenile civil cases ever get resolved by trial. So the court seldom even sees the expert. And that opens a vast opportunity for abuse in this case. One of the things that we've noted is that, unlike other licensed professions, one of the core functions of a private investigator is securing evidence to be used before a court. And we've tried to make a clear distinction, one that's enforceable, such that, and Mr. Tetalovich was informed of this because he came to the board's attention earlier. And they said, Mr. Tetalovich, if you go out and you want to testify as an expert on the basis of information you're provided, you don't need a license. If, on the other hand, you're developing your own information, that's when you would need the private investigator's license.
So that leads to the obvious conclusion that if one acts as an expert in both looking at or reviewing the subject matter of his or her testimony, if it falls within a licensed arena, they can't do that unless they are licensed in the state of Nevada.
I think the answer, Your Honor, is yes, they cannot do that.
Okay.
Because the statute says even a single act is grounds for a citation for unlicensed activity. There's no incidental activity exception in the statute, and it would appear to be against public policy as the legislature has declared it.
And I would note that the record suggests there were two prior instances where this particular individual was cited by your board. Correct?
I don't know that he was cited before. He came to the attention of the board, and there was an opinion given by one of the deputy attorney generals, and that was communicated to him, and he knew about it, and he knew how the board was approaching this matter.
Now, the record would indicate in the joint appendix at page 850 that in Torino versus Sportsman Royal Manor and Quiroga versus Del Prado Corporation that there may have been a citation.
Yes, these were subsequent events after the earlier decision by the board as to how they would approach it. And Mr. Tetalovich, we believe, went beyond the rule that the board was seeking to apply and went out and actually did his own investigations. And for that reason, not because he gave expert testimony, but for that reason he was cited.
Is there an exception if he works for a law firm?
If he was an employee of a law firm, there is an exception in the statutes. I think there are 14 now in the statute, various exceptions that would allow private investigator's license requirement not to be applied.
Can he be an independent contractor and not necessarily an employee?
No, in that case, normally you'd have to have a licensed private investigator.
So in other words, someone who investigated the Connie Francis rape case in Detroit years ago and
you know, did a lot of security investigations throughout the country, could not come here and testify as an expert witness in a security case because of the statute, is what you're saying.
If he's only taking information that's being provided to him before the hearing, he could testify as an expert. The board would not have a problem with that.
Well, I mean,
if he's investigating in Nevada, they would.
He'd have to do an investigation to be able to testify as an expert witness, unless he wants to just be a review records, as some doctors do in cases.
Many experts testify on the basis of information provided to them. In this case, there were specific incidents that the board found, and our position is there was substantial evidence supporting the finding of unlicensed activity in those instances. And they consisted essentially, there was two cases. The Torino case involved going out to the scene, taking photographs and measurements, using that in his report. The Quiroga case involved the same thing, but also went beyond that, where he actually did a background check, which is really a core function for private investigators in this state. And he did that background check on a Nevada resident to bring before the court the fact that a background check, if done earlier, would have produced no adverse results against this individual.
Did you want to reserve the balance of your time?
If I may, Your Honor.
Thank you. You have about 4.5 minutes. Thank you very much. Mr. Arascotta, for your respondents.
If I may have a moment to get situated.
Take your time.
I hope my glasses are not distracting. My arms aren't long enough to read anymore.
I don't think it would bother anybody.
Can
I
sit right here?
I just can't hear. I can see.
I'll speak loud. May it please the court, John Arascotta on behalf of respondent Dwayne Tatalovich and Tatalovich and Associates. Mr. Tatalovich is present today in court. I would first like to address Justice Cherry's question regarding the exemption, Section 8. The exemption does not mention the employees or someone working for an attorney. What the exemption states is to an attorney at law in performing his or her duties as such. Now, I can't speak for other attorneys, but I know that I cannot do an accident reconstruction on my own. I cannot go out and look at where an incident occurred and a third party was injured and form an expert opinion regarding a forensic securities expert. If I did, one, I'd become a witness and have to disqualify myself from the case. So it's our position that this Exception 8 is somewhat vague, but if you hire someone to work under the attorney, they are working for the attorney for the purposes of preparing for their case. Now, the main issue before this court is, does an expert witness or a consulting expert have to be licensed when in the course and scope of performing their duties and they must take photographs and or measurements, are they or any other act when performing their duties, do they have to be licensed by the Public and Private Investigators Licensing Board? And what these experts are experts regarding causation or origin. And we submit that it is not. This court's standard of review is de novo. And we urge that this court affirm the well-thought-out and reasoned decision of the district court, which was, one, citing Mr. Tatalovich, an expert witness, was outside the course and outside the jurisdiction of the Private Investigators Licensing Board, and two, that their decision was arbitrary and capricious. As the court knows, the primary complaint in both cases is that Mr. Tatalovich, in this course and scope of his retention as an expert witness, took photographs and measurements in the Quiroga case and also in the Torino case. One, he was employed by the plaintiff. The other, he was employed by the defendant. But both times when he took these photographs and did these measurements, it was to determine cause and origin in both cases and prepare a valid expert witness report. I agree with you, Justice Seda, that it's very difficult for an expert witness to become qualified under the Hallmark case or under Levine if they're not doing the investigation or doing the acts to lead to forming their expert opinion and relying on someone else. As this court knows, in Hallmark, to qualify as an expert, you first have to meet the requirements of NRS 50.275, which is showing your education, any licensure, that you've been qualified before as an expert witness, and also that what you have done can assist the trier of fact. As the court can see in the record, and I believe it's pages 723 through 737, Mr. Tatalovich is an eminently qualified expert witness, respected throughout the United States as an expert regarding forensic securities. What we have here, if you adopt the Private Investigators Licensing Board position, is we will lack, as litigants in litigation, qualified experts in their field, because attorneys, we're not doing our diligence, which is required by our standards of ethics, to have expert witnesses make determinations to assist us with causation or origin. And what this would lead to, if you reverse the district court, is it could lead to frivolous litigation unsupported by experts in their field. I've already addressed Justice Cherry's question regarding the exemption in number 8 of the exempt positions. And as I stated, we are required to hire cause and origination experts, we being attorneys. It's significant for the lawyer to investigate and determine whether there is a cause or a case and be able to rebut. And this court back in the 60s in Levine v. Remeloff made that very decision that an expert witness, accident reconstructionist, is required to go to the scene, is required to take measurements, is required to take photographs. And that too should apply to a forensic securities expert or any expert that is retained for purposes of litigation that in order to form their expert opinion has to, not should, but has to go to the scene and take the measurements, take the photographs. In the case of a doctor, say, with someone who has mesothelioma, and meet with the patient themselves, and that doctor may be from out of state, and be able to render opinions whether, A, he suffers from mesothelioma, and reach conclusions of that. Without that, the expert will be disqualified. Now, everything regarding what I've just discussed has been done to form an expert opinion. And we know what the hallmark requirements are. You have to show the techniques that you used. You have to do your investigation to form your expert opinion in similar conditions at the time of the accident. Your investigation and your opinion have to be developed for the particular event using proper methodology and technique, experiments and or calculations. And you cannot base your expert opinion on conjecture without testing and going to the scene, in most cases as an expert, to determine cause and origin. And without that, you cannot be qualified as an expert witness. And if this court reverses the well-thought-out opinion of the district court, what you will be doing is opening the Pandora's box for a new litigation tactic, which is beyond the scope of the Private Investigators Licensing Board's jurisdiction. I forget which of you justices asked the question if this needed to be done. Quite candidly, one of these citations was based on a complaint by an attorney in Las Vegas. Curiously enough, during cross-examination, he admitted, I need to retain the best cause and origin experts possible for my client. I asked him if they take measurements, if they take photographs. He said if they need to in the course and scope of doing their expert opinion, the answer is yes. He told the board, I come to you in my complaint because it's my solemn duty as an officer of the court. When I asked him, did you check to make sure these people that these expert witnesses that took measurements, that took photographs, did they have licenses as private investigators in Nevada? His answer was no. I asked him to check his files, and if they were not, as his solemn duty as an officer of the court, to report them to the Private Investigators Licensing Board. I don't know if that's occurred, but I would assume that it has not. What you're being asked to determine is really a public policy decision. In the Kennard case, although back in the 50s, from California, lays out for this court the public policy regarding the statute itself for private investigator licensing boards. Now, I'll advise the court that that statute from California has, in essence, became the model statute for virtually every state in the union. And I would, if you will indulge me, I will quote from some of the public policy reasons why expert witnesses are excluded and not under the purview of the Private Investigators Licensing Board. The Kennard Court state, and one thing that the appellant mentioned is that by us being able to review these expert witnesses and decide if they're acting as private investigators adds harmony to the litigation process. Quite candidly, it adds discord, because what it does, it turns an already expensive litigation process into a more expensive litigation process when lawyers are using whether someone who takes photographs and goes to the scene and fulfills their duties under Hallmark, whether they now have a complaint with the Private Investigators Licensing Board. What is that used for? It's just a clever litigation tactic, and quite candidly, I think a lot of times as clever lawyers, and I say that in quotes, oftentimes we cut off our nose to spite our face, which is what I was doing when I was referring to Mr. Jaffe's testimony. And what it does, though, is it allows an expert witness, eminently qualified, to be discredited as you broke the laws of the state of Nevada by conducting an investigation, and you were cited and sanctioned. Already that is happening to Mr. Tatalovich throughout the entire country, and it has nothing to do with his qualifications as an expert regarding forensic security. I quote Kennard, it's quite clear that the private detective's licensing law was not intended by the legislature to place limitations on the right of professional engineers to make chemical tests, conduct experiments, and to testify in court as to the result thereof. And then it went on to say a physician, a geologist, accountant, an engineer, a surveyor, or a handwriting expert may undoubtedly testify in courts in connection with their findings without procuring a license as a private detective. And what it stated, they further went on to state that the legislature, it was the intent of the legislature to require those engaged in the business of private investigation and detectives to procure a license to do so. And that's the Private Investigators Licensing Board's jurisdictional function. And the statute was enacted to regulate and control this business in the public interest. It was not intended to apply to persons who, as experts, were employed, as in here and as in this case for Mr. Tatalovich, were employed to make tests, conduct experiments, and act as consultants in cases requiring the use of technical knowledge, which is exactly what a forensic security expert does and any other expert retained regarding causation and origin. The appellant referred to the Gina Sessions letter to Mr. Tatalovich. With all due respect to Ms. Sessions, it was wrong. It does not appear that she did the research and looked at the Kennard decision and the decisions from multiple other jurisdictions through their attorney general opinions, which follow Kennard, saying that expert witnesses do not retain for purposes of litigation when functioning in their specific field, do not need to be licensed by the Private Investigators Licensing Board. Court's indulgence. The appellant also mentioned Mr. Tatalovich performing a background check regarding Nevada. Mr. Tatalovich is a licensed private investigator in the state of Arizona. In doing that background check, he utilized databases which are only provided to private investigators. And I dare say that there's not a private investigator licensed in Nevada who has the ability and access to those that they're calling the state of Texas or the state of Oklahoma or the state of Pennsylvania to ask them to do the background check that they can do with several keystrokes. That is part now with our technology-based society that private investigators, instead of having to hire someone to go search the Nevada courts, can do so under their license in their jurisdiction where they live. I would also advise the court that as I stated, this is already being used to attack Mr. Tatalovich, not based on his credentials, not based on his finding, but saying you broke the law in Nevada. That is wrong to have an expert witness put in that position when he did not break the law. The district court's findings must be affirmed by this court. To allow the best cause and origin experts to be able to come to Nevada and testify. To reverse this decision by the district court will have a chilling effect upon litigation because expert witnesses are not going to come to our state and it will prevent the best experts from being here because they don't want to be put in the position Mr. Tatalovich was put in by these complaints where that is used against them when they're eminently qualified and provide expert opinions regarding cause and origin. This court needs to avoid parochialism, which is really what the board is asking for. If I may have just 30 seconds.
Yes, go ahead.
This allows for our courts to be provided the best information to the finders of fact and maintain the integrity of the judicial process, keep the cost of litigation from skyrocketing, and prevent the private investigators licensing board from being a pawn to be used as a tool for litigation. I cited to a case Baggerly v. State, and it is apropos here. In Baggerly, they stated, if we held that the exclusion of an out-of-state, and this was an engineer, but out-of-state expert is proper under the statute, the result would be to limit the truth-seeking duties of the courts of the state. We can envision numerous litigation scenarios where a party's position might only be supported by the expert testimony practicing outside the state of South Carolina. Yet experts are intended to assist juries. Therefore, the state of South Carolina refused to endorse an interpretation of a professional licensing statute which has the potential of either preventing out-of-state experts from testifying in South Carolina or imposing the unreasonable burden of getting licensed in this state simply to be permitted to provide forensic testimony. We cannot become a state like that and limit the best experts from assisting juries, the finders of facts, by reversing the well-thought-out decision of the district court, and we ask that you affirm.
Thank you very much. Tracy, could you add 2 minutes to the appellant's time for rebuttal,
Thank
please?
You for the additional time.
Thank you. And we'll balance it out with the appellant.
Very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Counsel, as you're approaching, I'd like you at least to answer the question that our respondents essentially left with, and that is, if we were to adopt, you can come on up. I just wanted to kind of spare some of your time as I'm asking the questions.
Step up, Your Honor.
If we were to adopt the position that you are urging, do we run afoul of or do we take a risk that we will, by this type of decision, exclude other well-qualified experts in terms of testifying here in the state of Nevada if they are not licensed in the state of Nevada? And I'm thinking, I used the nurse example earlier, I'm thinking of engineers, I'm thinking of any number of instances where this decision might, as respondents suggest, chill what is so important in a court of law?
If I may, Your Honor, I'd like to answer that two ways. First of all, the board was very concerned that it not step on the court's jurisdiction of determining who's the proper expert. And the decision does not purport to prevent Mr. Tatalovich from testifying as an expert or interfere with the court's determination of who's a qualified expert. And it doesn't require a license if he's just going to come in and give expert testimony about his knowledge of a particular specialized field.
But if he's directed by counsel who has employed him to go out and do a more extensive investigation to bolster his testimony on the stand and prevent him or try and negate the attack that he's going to take from the other side, you're saying that violates the statute.
Your Honor, the decision needs to be made by counsel. If you need investigation, you should hire a licensed private investigator. If all you need is...
So in all product liability cases that come into Nevada where you have national experts that have to look at products, do investigations, gather factual data on that particular product, they're violating the statute.
But is he going to be testifying as an expert in security, or is he another kind of expert? If I could go into the Kennard case, I think I might be able to make that distinction a little
bit. Well, and as you address that as well, when you're talking about the security aspect here, talk about also the public policy behind this particular statute and how this meshes with that, your position in this case.
And if you would please connect that analysis of policy with two other questions that I have, and that is, could the attorney direct a law clerk to go out and do measurements that he intended to give to his forensic security expert? Would that law clerk also be in violation of your statute because he or she is presumably not a private investigator and at least licensed? So do we run up against that wall too?
The question then is the extent of the exception for attorneys where they don't have to be licensed as private investigators. And the board has in the past, and this is actually not in the record, but the board has in the past not applied that to not just the attorney himself, but also to employees within his law firm. So he could send someone out to interview a witness and find out what that person knew. The question then is a little different, though, when you get to presenting evidence in court.
So you don't think the expert is employed by the respondent in this case?
No,
not
in this case.
Final question, and I promise I'll stop asking questions. Could Mr. Tatalovich have done the background search from Arizona without violating the Nevada statute?
Probably not. And the reason is this, because there's a clear Nevada connection with all the nexuses that are there with the Nevada incident, Nevada client, Nevada person, Nevada courts. One of the things to keep in mind is that this would really open a Pandora's box, because there are lots of big companies out there that would like to work on the Internet, come into Nevada and do background checks for Nevada clients. There's really no reason to distinguish them from what Mr. Tatalovich was doing, because that they would be saying they're doing the same thing. We did it from New York, we did it from Texas, we did it from somewhere else. But what they're actually doing is Nevada background checks. Maybe I should go into that a little bit, too, because if you look at the background check itself, the importance of it in the Quiroga case where Mr. Tatalovich did the check was he was trying to counter a contention that, you know, if you'd done the background check, you might have found out something about this person, found out he was dangerous. Well, he did the background check, and he said, nope, there's nothing there to be found out. Once you've produced and secured that datum for the court, is it really necessary for expert opinion to be introduced on that issue? Because it should be blindingly obvious even to the layman that if there's nothing to be found, then there's no causation for not finding it. But that never got to be determined because Mr. Tatalovich never testified in the Quiroga case. I'd like to take a look at just briefly at the Kennard case. A lot of weight's being put on that. I would say first that we don't believe that the holding in Kennard requires reversal of the board's decision here. But we also caution that not too much weight should be put on that case, and here's why. That was a case 58 years ago in the California Court of Appeals. It got to that court not as a result of a finding by a licensing board, which would then be reviewed on a deferential standard such as the court should do here. It got to that court because a litigant hired some experts, received the services, and then decided not to pay them, trying to say that they didn't have a private investigator's license. Now, in this state, there's very few professions where your ability to sue for fees is taken away from you because you don't have a license. And private investigators is not one of them. And we've already covered that the absence of a Nevada professional license in Nevada is not necessarily disqualifying to your expert testimony. And we're also dealing here in Kennard with two sets of experts. One, Kennard and Drake. They were chemical engineers licensed in the state of California, and they did what chemical engineers would normally do. They conducted tests, they took samples, they read transcripts, examined photos, they advised the client, and they testified. The other expert was a Mr. Wolf, who was a former fireman, inspector, and arson investigator. When he was hired, he said, look, I'm not a private investigator. All I can do is advise you and give you some expert testimony. And that's what he did. As I read the case, there's no indication that he went out on the ground and did his own investigation. So what we have here is the cases and the opinions that have followed Kennard have almost in every case dealt with another learned profession, a scientific profession. And the board, to my knowledge, has never attempted to apply the private investigator's license to another professional in a scientific field who's doing the things that are traditionally done in that discipline. That's never been before this court. I don't expect it to be before this court, and is most emphatically not this case. In this case, I would urge that the findings of fact and conclusions of law be upheld as supported by substantial evidence, and the board's decision on the application of the law squarely within the terms of the statute. And if there were any ambiguity, this court has declared in the past that the agency responsible for interpreting and applying the statute should get some deference in the way it applies it. And that was Dutchess Business Services case, and that was a professional licensing case also. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you both for your excellent arguments and briefs, and the case will stand.